Good. Well, bless you. It's good to be with you all again. And we're going to be continuing in our series on 1 John. So if you have your Bibles with you, and we'll sort of read our little passage, and then we can work our way through and talk and consider and looking into the Word of God together. Just to say right at the beginning, we've been going through it quite a few times now, quite a few sessions, and I might not deviate, but just sort of try and bring things together a little bit, because it's such a beautiful letter. And before we kind of read it together, I want to draw our attention to the manner of the very speaking of John, the apostle. And I'm sure you will have noticed, as we've gone through it over many, many months, how poetic it is, how repetitive it is, how he kind of goes over almost the same things. And I think what God is doing there through him is he's looking at the same subject from different perspectives. Now, if you, I don't know whether you like a sculpture or paintings, but particularly with sculptures, if you look at it from a different angle, you see a completely almost a different part of the figure. You can see this side and that side, or a piece of architecture, and each facet of it has its own particular beauty. And that's what the apostle seems to be doing in this all of these letters. And it's quite similar to other prophetic books in the Old Covenant, like in Hosea and in Isaiah. It's not one almost doesn't want to use the term poetic, but it is. It's very, the language is so beautiful and so carefully thought through. And he says the same things from different angles. And it's very wonderful. And the more I've spent time looking at it, the more beauty and truth I've found that I can receive from it. And I think that's what God is wanting us to do, just to spend time in it, spend time in it, spend time in it. And the truth and the beauty of it starts to permeate into our beings. One of the things I would like us to do this morning, as we Monday morning, we face our new week with all its many challenges, is to say a prayer at the end together. And that will be from Revelation 3, verse 20, where Yeshua says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me." It's a very common and well-known passage, and we tend to use it for new believers. But actually, when the Lord spoke this verse, he wasn't speaking to new believers at all. He was speaking to those who've been in the faith for many, many years. And it's an invitation to really open up in perhaps new ways. And I don't know about you, but that's what I'm wanting at this stage in my spiritual journey with the Lord. I want to open up in new ways. I want to receive him in new ways I never experienced before. I want to experience the depth of his love in ways that I haven't before. I want to dine with him in ways that I haven't dined and ate before. And that's the invitation. And I want us to pray at the end together. And I think it's a real cry from the Lord, because the times which we're living in, as they get worse and worse, God is needing co-workers to work together with him. Now, we may only be able to do it in a little way, but that little way may be a big way. It may be that we just give one little tract to somebody like Dave shared earlier on, or we just spend a little bit of more time in prayer for our nation or our road or our family. Who knows what the little can do, the little seed can do, that genuine seed of faith. So let's now read from 1 John 4, verse 14, which is where I think we left off last time. I might have got that wrong, but I think it was. 1 John 4, verse 14 to 1 John 5, verse 4. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Saviour of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus Yeshua is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Whoever believes that Yeshua is the Messiah is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So, just working our way backwards in this wonderful letter, the apostle reiterates what is the central message that the apostle Shaul, the apostle Paul, gave also to the believers in all the New Testament congregations, that it is your faith, the faith that we share in the Messiah, that has overcome the world. And again, what the apostle is seeking to do here is to, and in all these truths that he's sharing, is to grant us the reassurance on a constant basis of what is happening in our lives. In your life, your faith is overcoming the world. Now, I don't know whether you're like me, but I need constantly to be reaffirmed in these truths, because something happens and I don't feel as if I'm overcoming the world, or it doesn't seem to be working. So what it's saying here, no, the truth is your faith is victory. Your faith alone overcomes the world. That's something each day we need to reassure ourselves in. My faith, my little faith, it may be little, it may not be fantastic, I may not have done very much, but my faith in Yeshua, in Jesus, overcomes the world. This is what the Bible teaches. This is what the Word of God says. So again, each day I build that into my life. And yesterday doesn't suffice for today. I need to have that building block well and truly put into my life today because of the situations that will happen. And then he brings out this wonderful, and it comes out again and again in John's gospel, about loving the brethren, loving the brothers, loving God's children. And he uses this analogy: everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who was begotten of him. So you know how if you have friends and they have children, immediately you've got that bond there. Or when your children have children, or somebody who you know really, really well, a relative has children, there's now a super bond that you don't have with other people's children, because they're already friends of yours. And so what he's saying here is that if we really love God, we cannot, out of us comes a love for the brethren. And you would have noticed, and I would have noticed, that when we become born again, when we're born of God, there is this supernatural love for the brethren. Now, some people have a love for the lost, and they're going out to the lost, but they're not very good with the brethren or the sistren. You know, they're a bit more of a problem. It's, in a way, it's almost easy to go after the lost sinners. Other people are wonderful with the brethren, but they're not so good with the lost. So what God's will is for us is that we have a love for both, and we are operating in that supernatural love for the brethren. And this is what it comes again and again in John's teaching. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. And both things are so united together. Our love for God, our Father, our love for his children. What could be more natural? We love the child, so we love the Father. We love the Father, we love the child. We have to forgive the brethren. It may be, and it will happen often, that we will be hurt, as Dear Rita shared, and we can all, and Simon shared, and we all suffered hurts. And the worst hurts are the ones that you suffered in the family. Family hurts are always really painful. But we have to have an unconditional level of forgiveness, because we've been forgiven. The slate has been wiped clean. So we have to wipe that slate clean completely because of our love for the Father. The Father loves us. We love him. He loves us. We love his children. It's not for us to judge his children. He will do the judging. It's not for me to do the judging. So there's that wonderful love for the Father. This commandment that we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Very strong there. very strong. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. And I'm sure you will remember, as I do, and I think to live in the concept and in the understanding and the truth that there will be, without a shadow of a doubt, as surely as night and day follow one another, there will be a final judgment for all mankind. There will be. It is inescapable. God has said it. He has declared it. That is the truth according to God's word. Therefore, it is vital that I live, that you live in the light of that. But wonderfully for us as believers, we know that perfect love casts out fear. We approach that, excuse my telephone in the background, I'm sorry, I can't stop it. We can, by God's grace, approach that day when it occurs without fear, because his love at the cross has taken out of the way all our sins and all our iniquities, and we have fully embraced and received Yeshua as our Savior and our Lord. So that perfect love casts out fear. Having said that, we mustn't push under the carpet that there will be a day of judgment. We can approach it with boldness by the grace of God. And we see more and more congregations and whole church groups completely pushing this truth under the carpet. They don't want to look at it. It's bad news as far as many, many congregations are concerned. They won't even talk about it. Even evangelical, you know, God-fearing congregation, they don't want to talk about it. But the wonderful thing is that we can talk about it. Perfect love casts out fear. There is nothing for us to fear, beloved. It's so wonderful. And in fact, we can embrace it, because that judgment will be God's judgment over sin and death and corruption and evil. Hallelujah. What is there not to be thankful for? What is there not to be happy for? It's our Father judging all the evil that there's ever been. It's our Father judging Satan's work, all the evil of man that there's ever been since Adam's fall. That will be the time when God himself will be exalted on his throne, and God himself will be seen as being Lord and Savior over all. How wonderful is that? So that's another reason why we need not fear. It's perfect love casts out fear. But that it will happen, we know. And John is very, very clear on that. Hallelujah. And it's because, and we'll be finishing here, where we started, we have seen and testify. And that, I think that John was so aware of that, one would be a little bit reminded of the picture of someone in court, when they would come to a court and the judge would say, look, you have to now bring a testimony of what you've seen. And John is very often saying and using that kind of language, this is what we have seen. I was there. I saw it. I was there. My eyes saw it, our eyes handled, touched and tasted. You can be confident that this is the truth, because we bear testimony of what we've seen. And also it's God's testimony. The next couple of times we'll look at actually God himself has testified of it. And here he is saying that we testify, we've seen and testify, the Father has sent the Son, a Savior as the world. Whoever confesses that Yeshua is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Hallelujah. That's you. That's me this Monday morning as we're facing the week ahead. That is you and that is me. Let us firmly believe it. Let us trust it fully. And let us seek to listen for the Lord knocking at the door of our hearts. I don't want a day to go by or a week to go by where I'm not listening to the Lord. And I think as the days get more and more evil before the Lord's return, we ourselves will feel the need to be listening more, to be more acutely walking closer to the Lord. So let us pray together. If you want, just to bow your head with me, and I'll pray for us all. I'm praying for myself, and you can also pray for yourself. Revelation 3, verse 20, the Lord says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me." Oh, dear Lord, Yeshua, our Savior, Lord, in these days in which we live, we so need you. Lord, we so need you. And we marvel at the fact that you want to come to us. Please, by your Holy Spirit, grant us to hear your knocking, to hear when you're knocking at the door of our hearts. Lord, we open our hearts to you fully, perhaps in ways that we've never really done before. Lord, we open our hearts to you to welcome you in as Lord, as Savior, as Bride, as King, as Friend. Oh Lord, we open the door to you as true children of yours. Please come in so that we might dine together with you, that we might hear your voice, have fellowship with you, eat with you as a table, around your table, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Thank you, precious Savior, that you want us to have that experience now, and not just when we get to heaven. Lord, in the days in which we're living in, with so much darkness gathering momentum all around us, Lord, may a little bit of heaven more and more come to us, because you are coming to us more and more, living in us for your glory. And may you be glorified by our lives. And we ask it together. We're in agreement together, Lord. We want to experience you more and more, love and serve you more and more. We are in complete agreement together in that. You say, where two or three are in agreement, there you are in the midst, and you will answer our prayer. In Yeshua's wonderful name, amen. Amen.